Bless them. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 290, stanzas 3, 4, and 5. The Lord will bless and prosper those, yea, blessed indeed are they, whose ways are just, who constantly his righteous law obey. 3, 4, and 5 of Psalter 290.
further, we wish to read out of God's holy and precious word from the Gospel according to Matthew from chapter 7, but before that, the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Matthew 7, the first 14 verses. Judge not that ye be not judged. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. And with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, Let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. Give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast ye your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet, and turn again and rend you. Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For every one that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you, whom if a son ask bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask him? Therefore, all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them, for this is the law and the prophets. Enter ye in at the strait gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because strait is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Thus far.
Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Almighty, all-knowing, eternal and decreeing God, from the very beginning of this world not only, but even from a never-begun eternity, Thou art He who wast and who art and who shall be forever. And we are but creatures who have been made by Thee and have to give an account unto Thee for all that we have done, whether it be good or whether it be evil. And we have heard it out of Thy word in these moments, that Thou dost say, Ask. O Lord, it is a wonder that Thou dost say, Ask, to such as we are. When we have turned in our father Adam, and yet Thou dost say, Ask. And when we turn every day, each one to his own way, and yet Thou dost say, Ask. O Lord, how great are Thy mercies, how wide is the ocean of thy grace. Give us to feel something of it in this hour, that thy goodness may be evident, and that thy grace may draw us, and that we may indeed in our heart be given to ask in these moments, when as a congregation we are gathered together and we have so many needs, for we are dependent creatures who cannot provide for ourselves. And there is not the least thing, and that we are able to grant unto ourselves, for in thee we live and move and have our being. And therefore we begin in this service once again by asking. And thou knowest our hearts, we do ask so often, but we ask without asking. And we do ask so often, but we ask amiss, that we may consume it upon our lusts. But every good thing that comes from above, wilt thou give us to ask then aright, from the bottom of our hearts. We have natural needs. Thou knowest where that they are, for there are many in the congregation, and each heart, each home has its own cross. O Lord, we ask of thee that thou may bring into thy footstool, and that all thy doings, thy providences, may be sanctified, and that thou mayst bring us to feel our need of thee, to feel our helplessness, to feel our guilt, and that we may be brought to ask in dependence for all things that we stand in need of. And when there are difficulties within the home, within the places of labor, within the world, within the church, within our own hearts, and then thou knowest everything. O Lord, we ask of thee then that thou wouldst care for all the needs which we do not know, but are known perfectly unto thee. And then we remember mothers and fathers, husbands and wives. O Lord, we ask of thee, and that thou mayst remember them, for this world is full of trouble. And as the sparks fly upwards, O that thou may give love to husbands and wives, and that place of self-denial. And thou knowest those that bear crosses, that cannot be known and explained unto others. O that thou may remember them in all of their needs, but look upon us in a special way, when we are in thy house in this afternoon, and when we are all together before thy countenance, so that there is nothing that is hid from thine eyes, and not any heart that is not open and naked in the sight of him with whom we have to do. Oh, that we may be given all together to lay our hearts open with the motives, with the desires, with the intentions that do live within our hearts. Oh, that we may be given to say in truth, be thou my judge, O righteous Lord. Try thou my inmost heart. I walk with steadfast trust in thee, nor from thy ways depart. O Lord, give then at thy footstool a place, and that thou may give also that which we cannot give to ourselves, and that true humility, and that true regeneration, where a man does smite upon his breast, in his unworthiness, in the lowest place, that he cries out to thee for the forgiveness of his own sin. O God, be merciful to me, the sinner. Oh, then there is hope. Then there is an expectation. We beseech it of thee, Lord, in thy mercy. Oh, we ask, Lord, and then in a special way for thy children, for thy people, for it is for their sake that this world still continues to this day, and that thou dost provide for all men, and that thou mayest bring in thy church, and that thou mayest make ripe and ready a people for the harvest. Oh, that thou may look upon them when thou hast planted that seed, and thou makest it to take root, and thou knowest how long that it can be for that people. Oh, then it must go down into the depths, and we need so much instruction concerning ourselves. Oh, that thou may look upon them in these ways, and when there may be a little budding forth, and when it may come up yet out of the ground and begin to make itself manifest in the midst of the world and of thy church with the fruits thereof, oh, that thou may look upon them, and that thou may give growth in grace, and that thou may prune as is so necessary, and that thou mayest bring to that full ripeness, and to that day that they are longing with thy servant to depart out of this world, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Oh, that thou may remember each and every one of them. Feed them, O Lord. Feed them this hour. Is it not for their sake that thy word may still be brought, and that thou would increase that number yet also in the midst of us, and that there may be a little word unbeknown to us, but known to thee, who doest what thou wilt as the sovereign king of thy church, to bring a word of thee and thy own word into the heart of a man, of a woman, of a boy, of a girl, and that thou may give that true sorrow, and that may weep for sin, and that may turn therefrom, and that may have a need for thy dear and only begotten and beloved Son. We ask, Lord, for help also, as he who must bring thy word. And thou knowest that we have nothing from our own side. It all must come from thee. Oh, that thou may bless thy holy word, and that thou may strengthen us for the labors of our hands, and with the consistory, and wilt thou give in the midst of us thy blessing, to forgive and take away all of our many, many sins. For Jesus' sake, amen. Let us now sing from Psalter 159, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. O God, regard my humble plea. I cannot be so far from thee, but thou wilt hear my cry. When I by trouble am distressed, then lead me on the rock to rest, that higher is than I. 1, 2, and 3 of Psalter 159. Beloved congregation, It is a very short journey between the cradle and the grave. But that journey is of the utmost significance because that journey is traveled but once. Every day that we live cannot be relived. Every deed that we do cannot be undone. And those it is not possible to return again and to do it over. And yet, how little realization that we have of the importance of the time of grace, especially that it is so very, very significant. What must it be to look back upon a single opportunity that has been wasted? One opportunity, especially when it concerns our eternal place, our eternal home. Most men will not begin to realize it until it is too late. And then they will say, I was busy here and there, and it was gone. Concerning our whole life. And what will the Lord say? He will say, so shall thy judgment be. Thyself hast decided it. It will be not blamed on the Lord, but it will be our own fault. Because of our carnality, because of our vanity, because of our emptiness. The words of our text for this afternoon can be found in the portion that was read to you, Matthew 7, verses 13 and 14. Enter ye in at the strait gate. For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. So far, the words of our text. Entrance into life. First, through the strait gate. Second, upon the narrow way. And third, with a few finders. Entrance into life, first through the strait gate, second upon the narrow way, and third with a few finders. Enter ye in. What is it to enter? That is to go from the outside and then to come on the inside, then we enter. And when we enter somewhere, then very often we are entering into a whole new world. If you will go, boys and girls, from the outside of your house onto the inside of your house, then you say it is a completely different place. If you will go from the outside of the barn and to the inside of the barn, then you say this is a whole new world. If you will go to the sea and enter into the water, then you will also find yourself in a whole new world. What is that new world of which the Lord Jesus is here speaking? When he says, enter ye in. Well, then he speaks about the world of life. To enter into life. And here he speaks especially about eternal life. That is over against eternal death. Thus, life, and we read here, destruction. What will that be? Then God's children may enter into eternal life. What will that be for them? When they may come through the gates into that eternal bliss, where there is no sorrow, where there is no weeping, where there is no sin, where there is no consequences of sin anymore. What a new world shall that be? Old things will have passed away. Behold, all things will have become new. We don't know so much about that world. The Bible doesn't say too much about that world. We know it speaks about that world as a place of great bliss, of great happiness. But no one will know what it shall be until he comes there. Will we also know it? Will we also experience what it is? What the Lord Jesus speaks about here. Enter ye in. Who says that? Enter ye in. That is Christ. And Christ is, young people, God. God says that. Enter ye in. That is the same God who has placed at that garden cherubim with a flaming sword that turned every way. It is that same God who has sent our first parents out. Do you ever feel that? Out. And now we read that same God, he says, enter ye in, who has sent us out. And why did he send us out? He sent us out because he could no longer dwell with us. He sent us out because of sin. He sent us out because we have made ourselves sinful creatures. And he cannot dwell with the filth, with the corruption that lives in us. And that comes forth from us, out, he says, of our heart. Therefore, he had to send us out. How is that now? Has that now ever become our grief? That we have been sent out of his presence? Of his holy presence, that we have been sent out of His favor, that we have been sent out of His near communion. Did you ever feel that? How many tears have you ever shed in your life because you are outside of that blessed favor and communion of the Lord? How many? Does the Lord know how many? You can read how that David said to the Lord that all his tears were in his bottle. The Lord had gathered them up, and he knew those tears. Every true tear that dropped out of his eye, that was known by the Lord. Or are there tears, children, young people, that also come from your eyes because you miss that God that made you? Because you have sinned against that good God who provides for you every day again? Are there ever any tears to come out of our eyes for this reason? Or if the Lord converts us, you know what we will miss? Then we will miss His presence. Then we will desire, or if that could ever be, that I could come again into that blessed favor and communion of the Lord, that we may that our soul that says, that is asking after God, remember me, O Lord, with that favor that thou bearest unto thy people, that ever in your heart. Many times they fear there is no way. There is no way to come anymore into that blessed favor and presence of the Lord, and their eyes are blind for it. The eyes of their understanding, they may have that blessed word of God. They may have been taught from their youth, but they cannot see that way that it is possible to come again into that favor. Enter ye in. Sometimes the Lord is opening the eyes of that people to see something. To see what? To see that there is a way. That the Lord brings men again into His communion. We read in God's Word, and as far as I know, we only read it one time, but the Lord Jesus has cured many persons when He was here below. And most of them, when He spoke the Word, then immediately they were completely whole. Now we read of one man, and we read that he was blind, and the Lord Jesus used the means to cure him, but he was not immediately, perfectly given his entire sight. Then he said, I see men as trees walking. Were you ever glad that that was in the Bible? Are there those that say, maybe there is the case that is as my own? Why? Well, because I hear it sometimes. I hear it from the word that is preached. I read it in the Bible, how that the Lord is opening the eyes of His children. And then it is so clear, it seems, for them. But for me, it is not so clear. Oh, sometimes, then the Lord is opening the eyes of His people by steps. I do not say just in a gradual way, but it is gradual in the sense that it is by steps, little steps, points in their life. And sometimes without actually opening and showing unto the people who that mediator is, the Lord is showing unto them that there is indeed a way, that there is indeed an entrance. But He does not give to them that clear light immediately to see where that entrance is. Enter ye in. Then it becomes a wonder to them. It becomes a wonder to them that there actually is an entrance, that an entrance exists. The Lord shows unto them, the people of the Lord, all they believe with all their heart, that people they have entered in. He shows it through His word. They believe it. The Lord gives faith in their heart that they may receive that word of God. They are convinced of it. There is a certain gladness that is in their heart. But they are still so ignorant. Then they have to go to the Lord to say, "Oh Lord, what is that way?" Then there is a people that may enter in and they may receive an encouragement. But then they say, "Oh Lord, show that way unto me. Wilt thou reveal Him also unto my soul?" Enter ye in. How hard they try to enter in. They are not slothful people. No, a slothful man will never receive the blessing of the Lord that rests upon the diligent seeking of the people of the Lord. Oh, they are convinced of the need of their soul. Oh, if they should gain the whole world, they say, and lose their own soul. Oh, what will that be? And now what does the Lord teach that people? He teaches them this thing. Without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. Did the Lord ever teach us this? What does the Lord teach a man? Not only that He is on the outside, but He shows to him why. Why am I sent out? He convinces him of righteousness, righteousness. He convinces him of judgment. He convinces him that he receives the due reward of his own deeds. He says, "We are guilty." The Lord gives them to love that righteousness, to love that justice. You see, that justice cast them out. That is true. And yet they love it. Oh, they would never desire that the Lord would do anything against his own blessed attributes. Oh, then they revere him as a just and as a righteous God. Holiness. Justice. What does it do to that people? It makes them careful. Makes them careful. It makes them tender. Not just before men. No, it makes them tender before the Lord. Him whom they love makes them desire to walk in his ways. Then the secret sins, they are all naked and open before him with whom they have to do. And those secret sins are to them the same as the open sins. Or the grief that they may have of the things for the things that are hidden is no different than the grief that they have for the things that are seen by men. Holiness, justice, all makes them so careful. And the more they try, the more they try, the more confused that people become. Why? Because they thought that when they may try, then they will reach it. They will reach holiness. They will satisfy justice. Because it is holiness and justice by which they have to enter in. Oh, then they become confused. Why? Because the Lord, he says, enter ye in. Enter ye in. And they try to enter in. And the more they try to enter in, the more they find how difficult that this is. Oh, then how is it possible to enter in the Lord? He gives hope. Indeed, the Lord says, enter in. The Lord says, there is a way. Others have entered in. Oh, the Lord does not let that people despair. And yet, the more they try, the more they see that they are not able to fulfill this justice, that they are not able to attain this holiness. Oh, they are convinced. There is no other way but holiness and justice. But more and more, they have to despair of entering in, fearing, I will one day be as those five foolish virgins. And I will stand at that door. I will stand at that gate. And I will be shut out. Do you feel that? Enter ye in at the straight gate, or that gate of justice that is very straight. It is very narrow. It does not admit a single sin or transgression, not in thought, not in word, not in deed. Every transgression and disobedience will receive its just recompense of reward. They cannot enter in without perfect holiness. That is the straightness that the Lord is showing to His people. More and more, with every attempt at holiness, then they begin to realize more and more how holy the Lord is. How great my sins and my miseries are. And then it becomes more and more difficult. Until when? Until it becomes for them impossible. Did it ever become for you impossible? Impossible. Why? Because I am sin. Because my whole existence is sin. Because there is nothing that can come forth from me but sin. How is it then possible that such a man, such a boy, such a girl can enter in? And then what does the Lord do? And then the Lord opens their eyes. He opens their eyes. O congregation, did the Lord ever open your eyes? In such a place, you may not know the time and the moment that the Lord has given regeneration. But if the Lord has opened our eyes in such a place, we will be able to say, I was here, I was there, this was the day, it was the 10th hour. What does the Lord open to that people? He opens to them that way. Enter ye in through that strait, at the strait gate. Christ says, I am the door. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. And their eyes are opened. Oh, then they see. What is that straight gate? That it is the blessed mediator himself. Oh, then they see him by the eye of faith. Then faith in that moment is able to receive him. Oh, then their soul receives that blessed invitation. Enter ye in at the straight gate, when they may behold his righteousness, and when they may behold the justice that he has fulfilled in his active, in his passive obedience, then their soul is drawn in through that gate. Oh, they feel, they experience something of the goodwill of God toward men that draws their sinful soul, as seeing how that righteousness is completely fulfilled, how that just judge is satisfied. Oh, then they see how suitable that he is for such a one as I am, that cannot enter, who has been sent out so justly by the Lord. And now the Lord, he says, enter ye in at the straight gate. Oh, then what a wonder that is becoming to that people. Enter ye in at the straight gate. Oh, who can fathom the perfection of the Son of God? Who can fathom the perfection of his obedience? Who can fathom the perfection of the keeping of his holy law? And that not one jot, not one tittle has been left behind by him. Who can fathom the perfect fulfillment of the punishment for the true people of the Lord? Oh, then in one moment, not the details, but in one moment, that people may see something of the blessed beauty of that Son of Man. Oh, then they may see something of the fulfillment that he has made, that covenant, that first covenant. What did that first covenant require? The first covenant, what did it say? The Lord says, do this and thou shalt live. Adam broke it. He did not do it. And Christ fulfilled it. And when Christ has fulfilled it, then what can the Father do? Then he must give to him the promise of that first covenant. You say that first covenant is broken. Is that broken? How is that first covenant broken? Does that first covenant demand no more? Still demands. Does that first covenant promise nothing anymore? It still promises. When you will keep the whole law, then the Lord must give to you what he has promised. How is it then broken? You say, no man will ever enter in by that first covenant. Why not? Because it does not require anything? Because it does not promise anything? Because the Lord will not fulfill it anymore? No. It is broken, Paul says, because of the weakness of our flesh, because of the inability of man to fulfill it. And now that people may see something, the Lord says, enter ye in at that straight gate. And when they may see how that narrow gate, that straight gate, that cannot allow a single sin to pass through, then it does not need to. It does not need to. All fulfilled by the blessed Son of Man, who says, I came not to destroy the law, but to fulfill it. And now that second covenant, that is what required of him to fulfill that first one. And now that second one, what does that do? That was not in that first covenant. What does that do? That is a covenant that includes a surety. Includes a surety. A people who have a debt. And that surety to pay for the debt of that people. And now that people may see something, just a little bit, maybe. just a little bit. But faith may look unto that straight gate. Enter ye in at that straight gate. And then they may see what Paul says. Neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name given under heaven among men whereby we must be saved. Do you believe that? When the Lord opens that unto that afflicted and poor people, they believe it. They believe it. Their soul takes hold of it. Faith takes hold of it. In that moment, how scarcely, the Bible says, is a righteous man saved? Scarcely. Through a straight gate, through a narrow way, and yet, do you know what they say? His grace is wide as the ocean. That is the mystery. Then they may see it. A straight gate, and yet it is possible for everyone. And they begin to sing. We will do it. 422, stanza 6. Thou art, O God, our boast, the glory of our power. Thy sovereign grace is e'er our fortress and our tower. We lift our heads aloft, for God our shield is o'er us through Him. Through Him alone, whose presence goes before us. And we'll follow 6 of 422.
Thank you.
entrance into life. First, through the straight gate. Second, upon the narrow way. Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life. Narrow is the way. What did Jacob say at the end of his life? Few and evil have the days of the years of my life been. And they have not attained unto the days of the years of the life of my fathers in their pilgrimage upon their short journey here below. Few and evil. What does the word narrow mean? It means to press. To press. Thus, the way to that eternal life, that is a way where there will be a pressing, it is a narrow way, full of trials, troubles, persecutions, tribulations, and for God's true church. That whole new world is now entered when a man, a boy, a girl is born again. Are you born again, children? Do you ever ask the Lord, am I born again, young people? Because you were taught from your youth to ask the Lord for a new heart. But do you ever ask the Lord, if you are born again? There are signs. There is a great difference we can read here in God's Word about the ways that are leading to that eternal life and the way that leads unto destruction, by which we may try our own heart and our own life, that we may ask ourselves, am I born again? Because if we are born again, then we enter into the beginning of that new life. That new life. That is a whole new world. That is different from the world then that you were living in. You say, I remain in the world, yes, but you have a new life. And you have now come, the Bible says, onto the narrow way. Thus, have you come on that way? So how do I know? Well, that way is narrow. That way, it says, is pressing. It will begin to press on you. That is not so of the world. That can go and enjoy every entertainment that can be found in this world because there is no pressing. How will it begin to press, young people? Well, that will bring you into trials in your life. Because those friends that you had before, you will say to them, I can go with you no longer. Those places, those books, those activities, all going to be trials. You think that is easy? Oh, it is not always so easy. And you have to break your social relations. But it will be a pressing way. And the Lord will continue to press in the life of His children. What will He press with? A curse. A curse. Cursed is everyone who continueth not in all things that are written in the book of the law to do them. Cursed. We are going to take a big step here because the time is short. We don't have time to lay that all out. But they will be pressed until when? They will be pressed until they may receive the assurance from the Lord that the curse is taken away. Is there pressure in your life? That we are asking the Lord, does that curse yet lay on me? Is there a need in your life? And now when that people are justified, and the Lord assures to them that that curse is taken away, how is it then for that people? You say, then there is no more narrow way. I think I have told you already before of that elder we had in the theological school. Was an older man, and he told us that years before he had experienced that justification, and he had explained that to Reverend Lemain on their way to drop the minister off at the airport. And when they got to the airport, Reverend Lemain got out of the car. And he said to him, now for sanctification. And he said to us so many years later, I did not know what he meant. And then he began to cry. He said, but now I do. But now I do. And that was now a burden for him. A man can be justified in the court of his conscience, but the way does not get wider. Or then he only has to learn more and more, oh wretched man that I am. And that grief will go with that man until he lays this body of sin and death in the grave. If we do not know this warfare in our life, we do not walk upon that narrow way. We miss it. We miss it. It is not for all, but many of God's children will also have to experience narrowness in a temporal way. That is, with all the things in this life. There is a great difference here. We think of the difference of the life of David or of Solomon. David had many wars. And in Solomon's life, there was peace. The Lord has His reasons. It is very similar from person to person amongst the true children of the Lord. Some are more wayward, and they need more affliction. But the Lord is free. For others, it is merely a trial. Think about Job. A narrow way. What is it going to be, congregation, in the future? What is it going to be for these, our children? And for our grandchildren in this world? If the judgments of the Lord do not make us to bow, they are only going to increase. And the way for our children, it is going to get narrower. How must we deal with that when it gets narrower in this world? Christ says, follow me. He says, follow me. Take my yoke upon you. And learn of me. For I am meek and lowly of heart. And ye shall find rest for your souls. There was none so pressed as he. There was none that came so in the vice, we would say, as Christ. And yet what did he do? He said, the cup which my Father had given me, shall I not drink it? Oh God, give to us and our children that grace, whatever is coming, for our young people and for our children in the future. When the clouds, we see them on the horizon, and they are coming closer and closer unto us. A narrow way. But it is a way that leadeth, the Bible says, unto eternal life. There is the prize. And that is set before us to give encouragement to walk upon that pressed way. Because also God's children, they can get tired of it. And they can get tired in it. And that flesh that always wants to go the easy way. And then there is always a temptation. And you see all that walk on that way where there is no pressing. And then you say, well, I just take that way. Oh, then the Lord is setting before that people the end of those two ways, that it may be encouragement unto that people. Solomon knew what it was. We heard about his youth when he was a young man, and that grace of God and that wisdom of the Lord that was given unto him. But what does the apostle say? He says, riches are a temptation and a snare. They are not a sin. The Lord gave them to him. But they are a temptation and a snare. And so they were also to Solomon. Then he said, I go a little bit on that Broadway. Oh, the Lord will keep his people. That is a wonder. But that prize that is set before their people to encourage them, to draw them, that they may continue in that way, and that they would not become weary of any kind of trouble, of any kind of distress in this world. Eternal life. Do you desire that? Do you desire that? Few do, the Lord Jesus said. We see that for just a moment, yet in our last thought. Entrance into life with few finders. And Dr. Gill, he says that the Lord Jesus seems to allude to the public and the private roads whose measures were fixed by the Jewish canons, said there were four different kinds of ways. There was a private way that was 4 cubits broad, so 4 cubits is 6 feet. Then there was the way from city to city that was double, that was 8 cubits. And there was a public way that was double that was 16 cubits. And finally, there was the way to the cities of refuge. They were 32 cubits wide. So what does the Lord Jesus speak about here? He speaks of here about the narrow way that is that private way. Only a few people. It is not a very wide path. Only one can go, two, three can go side by side on that way. Thus that life. What kind of life is that in the first place that Christ is speaking about? He speaks about a private life. Private life. Do you have a private life? That is what it is in the first place. It is a life between God and our soul. Then in the second place, it is a life that may be shared sometimes with one, two persons in this world, not many, that they can speak to and communicate that life. So Ruth, she may walk along with Naomi, and they have a common grief, but they may walk that road together. And Mary, she may go to her cousin Elizabeth, and then they have a common song, and they can rejoice together. And Hannah, seems she walked all alone. Her husband loved her, but he did not seem to understand. But the Lord visited her. Then it is a narrow way. Straight is the gate, and narrow is the way that leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Few pilgrims. It doesn't need a 32 cubit wide way unto everlasting life. Most persons, Christ says, will not find it. And why not? Because Christ says it is given to those who seek it. Who seek it. Do we seek it? Bunyan's pilgrim could not see that gate immediately. Not right away. That is now a picture of that true church. Christ says, those that seek me shall find me. Pliable was persuaded, but he was not converted. And then what did he refuse to do? He did not want to walk on that narrow way. And as soon as he came in that slough, then he is complaining. He says, is this now the life you speak about? I will have nothing to do with this. You may have it yourself. And he got out of that mire. On that side of the slough that was nearest unto his own house. Phew. Few there be that find it. And then we want to blame the Lord when we do not enter in. We say the Lord has to get it. It is the election and the rejection of the Lord that is the cause why I cannot enter in. Do you know what the Lord says? You have no desire to walk, to enter through that straight gate. And you have no desire to walk upon that narrow way. But Christ says, enter ye in this way, in this way. He has made this way for an undeserving people. That is now what becomes a wonder to that people who are pressed. A wonder that there is yet a way. And now if we reject it, it should be no wonder to us that on that great day of days, that we will stand without of that kingdom, of that life, and that gate will be to us forever closed. Congregation, enter ye in at the straight gate. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, it is thy own word, and thou hast made a way to enter in. So against our flesh, we have no desire to walk that narrow path. But wilt thou draw us, and wilt thou encourage thy church in all the pressing, in the oppression, in the affliction, and that they may have that blessed end in view, even they may be with thee, which is far better. Dismiss us with thy blessing. Keep us in this week. Help us in all the labors of our hands, each one in the place thou hast given us in this world. Keep us from a sudden and an unprepared death. Give us to meditate upon our pilgrimage and to ask whether we are on the narrow way or whether we are on the broad way. For Jesus' sake, amen. 255, stanza 4. While he proffers peace and pardon, let us hear his voice today, lest if we our hearts should harden, we should perish in the way. The fourth of 255. Thank you. receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.
Blessing.